doing races is controlled discomfort. And on the other end of that discomfort we get through is growth.
Disruns Radio episode 633 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Disruns Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you once again by the good folks over at DKMS. And if you haven't heard about DKMS yet, if you're new to the show or you tend to zone out during the sponsor readings, pay attention, because what DKMS is doing is really, really important work. They're an international nonprofit, and they're all about helping to rid the world of blood cancer and various other blood disorders. And the way that they really go about doing that, their big mission, the reason that they're sponsoring episodes of the show and continue to be a great partner with me and helping me to do what I do to help them hopefully do what they do, is to get more folks into the pool. And the pool we're talking about today is the pool of potential donors, potential folks that are potentially willing to give up a little bit of bone marrow to help save a life. So for some of the a lot of the folks that have blood cancer and other blood diseases, the only way to be healthy again is to get a transfer, to get a marrow donation from a healthy donor that is a genetic match. And if you know anything about genetics, it's a 1 in a million shot to find that genetic match. And so the more folks that DKMS can get into the pool, the higher the likelihood that those that have blood cancer and other diseases are able to find that match that they need to go on and live a healthy and hopefully long life after the fact. So if you're willing to help out, if you're willing to join me in the pool of potential lifesavers, DKMS.org is the website, and you can also text the word amazing. That's AMAZING to the number 50555. Get a whole host of information, all your questions answered, and you can also request that kit, that swab kit that you get. Swab the cheeks, send back, and that puts you in the pool. So thanks to DKMS for their support, and thank you guys for supporting a really great organization that's really doing something to make a difference in the world. DKMS.org and amazing to 50555 for all your information that you need. And now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today is someone that I can relate to on more than a few levels, and as such, I have no worries about running out of things to talk about today. It's going to be a good one. May even preemptively say we're going to need to do a round two at some point down the line, because there's probably no way we'll get to everything today. A brief history, and we'll certainly dive into this maybe a bit more as we go. But she ran her first marathon back in 1994 and pretty much hasn't stopped since. And along the way, along those almost 25 years now, can you believe it? Her love for the sport has certainly continued to grow, and her relationship with the sport has grown and evolved and become something new now than it was back then. Again, all of which we'll get into as we go. Fast forward to today, she's getting ready for her 100th marathon, which will actually probably have already been done by the time you're able to listen to this. She's also completed a handful of ultras, 50-mile, 100-mile, comrades, a whole host of different ultra-distance races, and over 100 and probably 150 other races of various distances along the way. So clearly she's all in on running. She's also a coach and recently released her first book, which you all know that I struggled with for forever. So that might be something we talk about as well. But anyway, I'm certainly looking forward to talking shop on a whole host of topics today with Miss Denise Soriel. Thanks for joining us today, Denise. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, like I said, certainly looking forward to seeing what topics we get to today, because there's no shortage of them, and who knows which direction we'll go. But guys, if you want to find out more about Denise, what she's got going on, follow along with what she's doing. The website is run-for-change.com. And on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, especially, the handle is at meyouand262. So that's me, you, and all spelled out, and then the number 262, which is also the title of the book. We'll get to that as we go as well. And as per usual, we'll have everything linked up in the show notes, just like we always do. And if you want to head over there to find her contact info or links to the book or social media or whatever it is, disruns.com/632 is a link that'll take you right to the show notes, and everything. The world will then be at your fingertips at that point, or at least the world, according to our conversation today, will be at your fingertips. Disruns.com/632. So, Denise, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple, well, a very simple question to ask. For some folks, it's a pretty simple question to answer. For some, it's a little bit more of a hemmer and a har and try to narrow it down. I kind of have a feeling I know which way you're going to go, but I've been very surprised before when I've had strong feelings. So it's just a fun question to ask and see where it takes us. And that's to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I would say, I'm sure you already know it, but 26.2, the marathon. Never thought I could even accomplish one. And that first finish line changed my life. It catapulted to other things that I was excited about, scared and excited. And I feel like once running is a part of your routine, doing a 5K, a 10K, a half, well, even your first half, I should say, some people, that's a huge step for them. But I had been running since the fourth grade, and then I think I was maybe 27, and I ran the marathon. I never thought that was possible because I thought the marathon was for, I ran in high school on the track team and the cross country team, but I wasn't very good. You just had to show up and you were on the team. And to me, people that competed in high school at the state level or they got a scholarship to run in college, that's who did a marathon, not some girl in the back of the pack that her coach would say, what are you doing looking at bugs? Because I always stare at the ground. But yeah, I feel like, so for me, a 5K, a 10K, a half, it's kind of innate. I can get through it without, I mean, when I race them, I race races and I run races. Mm-hmm. The latter is more about the journey and the former is all about clock time and the destination. But for the most part, when I do a 5K, 10K half, I'm having fun. I don't have to dig deep. When I do a marathon, no matter what, even if I'm running with one of my clients, I still have to dig deeper than I would in my normal everyday life. I also love about the marathon is that you go on an emotional roller coaster in 26.2 miles. Like usually our emotions are different every day, like what we come across. But in the marathon, you start off, you feel like a rock star, you're in your own parade, you get to the halfway, you're like, I got this. And I mean, even I did my 98th marathon a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't help but start crying. I got really emotional at maybe like 14 or 15. I'm coming up on my 100th from the girl who ran her first and said never again at mile 21, 22, but you running just, you never know what kind of self-reflection you're going to get. So back on that marathon roller coaster of emotions. So I cry in some of them. I, of course feel invincible when I finish. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love about it is we experience an emotional roller coaster and every marathon has been different. In that some emotions come out, some don't. I don't know when they're going to happen. Some are stronger than the others. But that's what I love about it. It's like a TBD.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, like you said, over the course of 26 miles, like there's time. You know, whether you're a three-hour marathon or a five-hour marathon or somewhere in between or somewhere outside of those two times there, it's a long enough race that you know, if you're pushing yourself, like, or even if you're not, if you're just going through it and like you said, running with somebody else, running it more for fun than for racing it, boy, roller coaster is one of the most apt descriptions that I think you can give it.
Yeah, the other thing that I think is beautiful about any race in that even a 5K, like I don't really like 5Ks. My whole thing is the shorter the race, the faster I have to go.
Right.
And so a 5K and a 10K hurt the whole time. The half marathon doesn't hurt till maybe mile 9 or 10 and the marathon 18, 20. Mm-hmm. But I feel like no matter the race, at a certain point, it's going to get uncomfortable, right? And I feel like, you know, life, doing races is controlled discomfort. And on the other end of that discomfort we get through is growth, transformation. And so, you know, in our everyday life, bad things come our way, you know, heartbreak, lose someone, or, you know, try so hard to get this job or get into a school. Just, I guess, disappointment, sadness. And we get through it. We don't know how long it's going to take. And we're a different person on the other end. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like races, they all hurt at a certain point, right?
Right.
And so it's like, and we pay money for this. And I feel like the races are controlled discomfort with transformation and growth on the other end, again, that we wouldn't experience in our, well, we do experience in our everyday life, but we're choosing this. Mm-hmm. And that's what's also so beautiful about it. Like everyone, like I get so high at races because I'm surrounded by other people that they want to see what else they're made of. They're just saying no to their own status quo, their boss, their partner, their parent. No one's telling them to get to the start or the finish line. Mm-hmm. I mean, even someone who's just starting to get active, and for them, like I have a client, his name is Sid, and he's been running about 11 years, and he started with running one mailbox to one mailbox. And last November, we did a 50 miler together. He's 66 years old. Yeah. Wow. So even someone who just starts, making it to their first mile is huge. And again, no one's telling you to do it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. When you were saying the kind of controlled pain or, you know, controlled discomfort, all I could think of is that, you know, it's for a lot of us, at least, you know, some of the other examples that you gave, you know, as far as jobs and life stress and things like that, you know, I don't want to say that those are not optional, because in some sense they are, but like you said earlier, with the running and the discomfort that comes with running, and whether it's a 5K and that short, hard burst, or whether it's the marathon or an ultra or whatever, like these are things that we're choosing. So we are choosing physical distress, which is also something that as adults, there's not as much of that. You know, it's a lot of work stress, life stress, family stress, things like that. But we're choosing to put ourselves into something difficult. And so when you can come through that, like you said, the high, the joy, the sense of accomplishment, it's really something that I think that maybe as adults we don't get that taste as often as we do when we're a kid playing sports or doing athletics or PE classes or things like that.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I want to share running with everyone.
Right.
And first, they're first of anything in and out of sports.
Right, right. So going back in time just a little bit, I mean, you know, you mentioned that you started running when you were quite young and ran through high school and whatnot. Maybe not the fastest, maybe not the most elite level high school athlete, but you know, eventually you found your way into running a marathon. How did that happen? Where you kind of struck that idea of only the really fast kids go on to run marathons to you know, this is something I'm going to do, and you know, spoiler alert, also have become pretty darn fast at it in your own right. But how did you get to that point of saying, you know what, like I'm gonna try this whole marathon thing?
Yeah. So my older sister Debbie, we would always run together, and maybe every summer we do a couple 10Ks, and we did the half marathon every year, every fall, and then in 1993 she did the Chicago Marathon. And at the time, and until most recently, when that happened, I said, what the piss? If she can do it, I can do it. And so I did it the following year. But what really happened, and what she really did, and what my clients do for people in their circle that also, you know, have doubt, don't think they can do it, what she did is she turned what I thought was superhuman, human. Mm. And it's happened in other in other parts of my life where somebody else did something I didn't think they could do, and they were just like me. And so I did it in 1994. I didn't know anything about training at the time. I actually got in a fight with my, he was my husband at the time, the Friday marathon weekend. No. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember what we fought about. I just remember him saying, "You'll never finish on Sunday." And I said to myself, "Nobody tells me I can't do it." So I ran 20 miles on Friday, 2 days before my marathon. So I didn't know, that kind of led me to being an ultra runner down the road.
that's the ultra recipe, not the marathon recipe so often.
Right. So at the time I didn't know many people that were doing it. I just knew my sister did it. So I didn't know anything about nutrition, nothing. So I don't recommend that to anyone to run their 20 miler 2 days before. But I did it. And again, the emotional roller coaster started. This is awesome. Actually, Oprah Winfrey, she had run Marine Corps a couple weeks before Chicago. So she was out on the course, and I'm running the marathon, and I'm just following this girl the whole time. And all of a sudden she like beelines to the right. I'm like, "What the, oh my God, it's Oprah." And I high five Oprah. And then I'm like, "This is awesome." And then I hit my wall at like mile 20, 21. And I'm like, "Where the heck is Oprah? This sucks. I'm never doing this again." And so I'm coming up on my 25th running of Chicago. There's 1 year I didn't run. Maybe we'll get to that later. But I don't know how much longer it took from when I said I have to do that again. I don't know. I know it wasn't like afterwards or at least a couple days later, because I literally was walking like Frankenstein. I could not do stairs or curbs. So I think I was in major pain. So I think it took longer for the pain to subside for me to say, "I want to do that again and I want to get faster."
Any idea of what it was that made you want to do it again? Because I was right there, you know, with you in terms of, you know, around 21 or 22 miles of the first marathon, this was stupid and I'll never do this again. And I held firm for much longer than a few days. Oh. I held firm for months before I got suckered back into doing it again. So any idea what spurred you, even when you're still Frankenstein in a little bit, to think that you wanted to do it again?
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, anytime we do something the first time, I call it skited. You're scared and excited. And once you get through it, well, when you do something the first time, there's all these unknowns. You're freaking out. Will I complete it? Will I get injured? What's going to happen? What? What if? And then you get through it and you're like, "That really wasn't as bad as I thought. And I'll do things differently this time." The thing about that first marathon that's so special to me, like, I can't even believe I'm coming up on my 100th marathon. Chicago was my first, it was my 100th, and it was 22 other ones in between. But what it did is it turned the "I can't" into "What else can I do?" And just all growing up, I never felt X enough. I never felt, you just fill in the X. And then when I did something that I thought was superhuman, something that I didn't think I could do, it just is so empowering. I think what it was that said, that told me I got to do that again is, I'm going to get emotional because, it's just given me so much. But what it did is and I feel like it does this with my runners. And again, whether it's your first mile, your first 5K, is it ignited an empowerment engine within me that had always been there. So then the next time I get skited about something, I draw courage from that little engine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that parallel of, you know, what else can I do? Because that's certainly been something that I've taken from running over the years, is like, you know, all these things that I didn't think, you know, whether it was a marathon, whether it was an ultra, whatever it was, whether it's just becoming a morning person and actually looking forward to getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get my runs in and out of the way. It's always, you know, anytime that there's that new challenge, it's like, all right, well, I did that and I didn't think I could. So who knows? Yeah. And so it's a great thing to draw on.
I have chills. And then you think about too, like what you would have missed out on if you didn't try.
Right.
And we're not done yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Continuing to keep on keeping on and keep picking up those new experiences and learning and evolving and growing. You know, you mentioned that this is, I think I heard 25 or coming up to 25 runnings of Chicago. I don't know that maybe the most obvious and in some ways maybe the worst type of question, but why continue to run Chicago that often? I mean, you live there, so it's convenient. So there's that bit. But what keeps you coming back to running the Chicago Marathon virtually every year since that first time in 1994?
It kind of goes back to, you know, I was always looking for confidence and being X enough. And again, doing something I didn't think I could do. So I really, really found myself on that course. Mm. The first marathon I did in about 4:28. I did a couple more on my own. And then I met a girl named Beth. She had qualified for Boston on her first marathon. And of course, you don't think you could do one. And then you're like, well, I got to get to Boston because that's like the mecca of marathoning and it's out of reach. So of course I want to push myself. Mm-hmm. So I asked her how she did it. And she said, you got to come to track workouts. You should come to our coach's track. And I'm like, no way. High school gym class. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe a month or a couple months I caved and I went. And, my coach, Greg DeMonte, He believed in us until we believed it. And he is definitely someone I try and emulate as a coach. But he got me down to a 3:15.
Wow.
In about 8 years. Like the girl. So most people that were good in high school, and I still respect them. I was not naturally talented, but they still know their times. So I don't even know the distance of our cross country meets. I don't remember what events I did. I do remember getting a knot in the stomach. Like, am I going to be fast enough? Who's going to pass? How many people are going to pass me? But yeah, for the girl who just kind of made the team and didn't really contribute and wasn't good to then get to like, a 3:15. I mean, I've qualified for Boston, I think 31 times now. One year I won $1,000 from the Chicago Marathon. I mean, yeah, the girl in the back. So that's why I tell people, like, you never know what else you have in you. Just because we, you know, may not have been good in high school or we haven't run since high school, you never know what you have in you. And plus, as an adult, I feel like we have more grit and drive and hunger than when we were little. I don't know. I think we kind of grow into that. I can't even think of the right word, but yeah. So I've kind of found myself on that course. I didn't think I could do it. I never imagined getting that fast. And then, August 16th, 2009, I kind of have like a Denise 1.0 runner and a Denise 2.0 version runner. And, you know, when I was little, running found me, and I still don't have the eye hand ball coordination, but it's been my best friend forever. And it always made me feel better after. And what happened once I started working with a coach and getting fast, I was never fast enough. So before I wasn't X enough, and then I became not fast enough. I was using my race results to define me as a person. And if I didn't PR, I beat myself up. If I missed a workout, my whole focus, I sacrificed. I didn't have balance, and it all was solely about the destination. I mean, I was on another podcast that my friend has. And during it, he said, did you ever have fun with running? And I really didn't, which was sad once I got in that competitive mode. And I didn't know that till I didn't realize that until he asked me that. And, so fast forward August 16th, 2009, I'm heading to Central Park to run the New York City half. And, you know, at the time I'm doing 60 to 70 miles, chasing a PR, like even Usain Bolt doesn't PR every time, right?
Right, right.
But it felt like the one thing I could control in my life, like what I put in, I would see results. So I'm running to Central Park, and on the way, I got hit by a car. And I flew on the hood, shattered the windshield with my body. I bounced off the hood and landed in front of the car, hit my head on the street, and just so many thank God moments for that. I ended up breaking 5 vertebrae, and yeah, I stayed conscious. The kid stopped, like, in fast forward, I didn't need surgery. I just had to wear a back brace. And I actually flew home that day. That's a whole nother story. They didn't know my back was broken. But again, thank God moment. So once I was, and my friends are like, are you going crazy running, not running? And even now I'm like, no, the fact I can walk, talk, and breathe is all that matters. And I'm sure you've seen it in races, the spectator sign that says there will come a day when you cannot run. Mm. And today is not that day. Like I realize way more than ever what a gift running is. And it's not so, I mean, it's great to push ourselves, see what we're made of. But if you don't hit your time, it doesn't define you. It's only an extension of you. So going back to this accident, once I was and my orthopedic at the time too, he said, Denise, you're going to get faster. You're going to faster. And honest, today, I don't even care about getting faster. Like it was only 2 years. Last year was the first time I actually trained for a race. And it was like a 10-year anniversary. Right. Mm. And that was only because, I should have only had decaf today, but I only started training for races because I see my clients. I have virtual clients. I have group training. I also run with clients. I literally run one-on-one mm-hmm. with them, race with them. And I see them push through when they want to quit. So last year, it just finally hit me. I'm like, I feel like a hypocrite. Like I like cheer them on. I talk. I tell stories. I run around them. I try and get them out of their head. But then I never pushed myself. So last year was the first time I actually trained, and I tried to hit whatever I needed when I first marathon. I needed a 3:04. So I focused. I was shooting for a 3:40 last season, and I didn't get it. And I'm like, huh, I'm good enough. It's like I have a litmus test. I only race and work out hard 25% of the time. Mm. The rest is the journey, and the rest is helping other people. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, so back to the accident. Once I was mentally and physically stable, I felt like there was a reason why I survived in the state I was in, because like, I don't know, a centimeter, a tenth, whatever could have made all the difference in my life. And that's when I decided I wanted to give back to running for what it had given to me. And, you know, I tried basketball, volleyball, I tried handball sports. But running was always there for me. And it's the people I've met, and like, I wouldn't have met you unless we had the common language of running. So aside from the mental and physical benefits that running has given me, it's the people I've met and continue to meet. It's the way, it's my mode of transportation for seeing the world. You know, it also showed me what else I was made of. And now it's my career. So I wanted to share what running had given to me to other people. So I started coaching about 7 years ago.
Gotcha.
That's a really long story.
No, that's great stuff.
And I love it so much so that 2 years ago, I actually left my 26-year career to coach full time. I just got to the, you know, they say older people were right. We do get older and wiser. But I just realized, you know, what am I going to do? Wait until I retire to do what I love? And just being around my runners, helping them do something they didn't think they could do, it just sticks to my soul. And I realized one, I just turned 50 in January. I don't want any regrets. I want to minimize any regret. And I would have regretted if I didn't decorporate. That's what I call it. And I've learned, for me, I feel like it's more important to me to impact people, to have connections and have experiences. It's not about the things in the labels anymore. I don't even know how to explain it.
I want to get into some of the the coaching stuff a bit more as we go. But first, just want to take a second, Denise, and pay a couple bills and thank the good folks over at DKMS for their continued support of the show. Guys, we've been talking about DKMS for a while. We're going to continue to talk about them because they're a great organization doing really great work. Some of the stats that I've thrown out there before, but I think it always floors me when I reread these stats or when I see them again. And just to remind you, what DKMS does, they're all about helping to battle blood cancer and blood disorders all over the world. And in the 28 plus years going on, closing in on 30 years that they've been in the business of helping to fight blood cancer and blood diseases, they've signed up more than 8 million potential donors for folks that would be possibly, matches to give bone marrow and give a donation to somebody who's fighting blood cancer. And that's the best form of treatment. And in those same 28, 29 years, they've also facilitated more than 70,000 donations from those folks that have signed up to be a potential donor. So, the possibility of saving a life as a blood donor or as a marrow donor is real. And, for those 70,000 plus people, obviously it made a difference in their life. So, and DKMS isn't ready to stop fighting the fight anytime soon. They're moving forward and continuing to do the work that they're doing. And we have an opportunity to help by signing up to be part of the pool, part of the potential list of donors. And if somebody comes along that's a genetic match for you, you could have that opportunity to save a life. So the best way to get in the pool and to join me in the pool is to head over to DKMS.org and you can get your free swab kit. They send it over to you. You rub the Q-tip on the inside of your mouth. You send it on back, all postage paid, costs you nothing. And then they analyze it, put it in their system. And, if the lightning strikes and somebody matches you, they contact you and help set everything up. They cover all the expenses. It's all, again, no cost to you. And the recovery process is not long. You're looking at a few days off of running to potentially save a life. So I think that's a trade that any of us would be willing to make. So once again, DKMS.org is the website. And if you want some more information or you just want to do it on your mobile, text the word amazing. That's AMAZING to 50555. So Denise, kind of getting back in, like I said, wanted to shift into a little bit of the coaching stuff right now. And if I'm connecting the dots a bit, it sounds like that accident, that getting hit by a car in New York, was the catalyst to coming down the coaching, to switching, like you said, switching your focus a bit, helping others out more and getting into where you are today, where, like you said, you're, out of the corporate life and doing this coaching thing full time. How soon after the accident, once you got, once you realized, all right, I'm healthy, I can keep doing this, I can keep moving forward. When did coaching as an opportunity to be one of those avenues to give back come onto your radar?
I think it was about a year later. The accident was August 2009. And then I started coaching in 2010. And, how I said that first marathon in 1994, it ignited an empowerment engine, mm-hmm. That I then would draw upon when I faced other skited things. So what happened is, I did a marathon. I didn't think I could do it. I shot for Boston. I got it. I then did I did a couple Ironmans, and I'm deathly afraid of open water. I mean, I even quit an Ironman swim. I've skydived. I'm afraid of heights. Instead of taking Toastmasters classes, I took improv classes to get over my fear of public speaking. So fast forward to when I decorporated, that's when I came up with the word skited. I was scared, leaving healthcare and a vacation day's paycheck to follow my heart. But I feel like the scared keeps me humble. But I was so excited to, again, give back to what is given to me. And when I'm alongside my client's journey and, you know, their eyes light up, their heart lights up, they did something they didn't think they could do. It's like, that means more. That means as much as any PR I got. And I was getting ready to tell my boss that I was, leaving. And I said, I'm scared. I'm excited. Oh my God, I'm excited. And then I said, well, that's what my first timers are. Mm-hmm. Anytime we do something the first time, we're excited. So again, it's like, that's why I want to help people even to do their first mile. Cause then they'll, okay, maybe I can do more. And you know, once you get someone in the running community, we welcome everyone, every age, size, and pace. And then you'll see that those things you thought were out of reach, they're really not superhuman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. And once the running community gets its talons in you, you might as well give up. There's no sense fighting it anymore. You're one of us, and not letting go.
It's really right. It's tied with the mental and physical benefits that running gives us as the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm sure is part of your coaching, some of the things that you work with your clients and your athletes. But one thing that sticks out to me from just hearing the bits of the story that we've talked about so far today, like I said at the beginning, it's almost 25 years of running, and a lot of folks, sad as it is. Have physical breakdowns at various points during training for races, pushing too hard, making some mistakes that maybe, hindsight 2020, maybe you should have listened to your body better, whatever the case might be. But there's a lot of injury issues and people, kind of can get frustrated if they're dealing with injuries over and over and over again, whether it's the same injury or different things, whatever the case might be. Curious that in your career as a runner, have you had much for injury setbacks, or have you been able to stay mostly healthy throughout the years?
Yeah, gratefully, I haven't had that many injuries. I can probably gratefully count on one hand, and I better find some wood.
Right.
But I think I'm blessed. That's part of it. And then two, I listen to my body. Mm. We only have one body. There's always going to be another training run. There's always going to be another race. And whenever my body, and I tell my runners this, if your body throws up a yellow flag and something doesn't feel right and it doesn't go away after like 10 days, 2 weeks, go see an expert, mm-hmm. A specialist. And I just always practice that because I do not want running taken away from me. I'm also a huge believer in massage, not the Zen candles,
right.
Spa. No, dig the crap out of my muscles so they will be springier the next day. And ice baths, I'm also a big believer in that. So, and I have so many friends and some of my runners, like they'll have something that won't go away and they run through it and either they can't do their race what happens is you spend twice as much time doing rehab than if mm-hmm. you just listen to your body.
Oh yes, you're preaching to the choir there, Denise. It's but I'm glad because it's something that I talk about a lot, and I know that or at least I assume, maybe I don't know, but I assume that people kind of tend to tune it out when I'm saying it. So I love having different voices say give their own take on we're all pushing in the same direction as far as take care of your body, listen to your body. Prevention is better than cure. All of those types of things. Have you noticed things that you have had to do differently in terms of the prevention, in terms of listening to your body as you've gotten older? Because again, like it or not, it beats the alternative, right? We're all getting older and the alternative is not so bright and sunshiny for, when it comes to not getting older. So as you have gotten older and you're continuing to run and continuing to do, new things and pushing yourself and some of the ultras that we may or may not get to, because at some point time is going to be a factor here, but you're continuing to do more and more in the running side while also getting older. How has Father Time helped to change or has it changed some of the things that you do to stay healthy and continuing to put one foot in front of the other on a regular basis?
So when I first started working with my coach for the track workout, I would do a quarter mile warm up. And then I would just go fast out of the gate. So now when I do a track workout or I do a 5K or 10K, I do like a 4 or 5 mile warm up. Mm-hmm. Takes me a lot longer to warm up. I also have been getting more massages, like 2 or 3 a month. And I'm doing more ice baths. Like when I was younger and I just started marathoning, I really didn't have any recovery. Mm-hmm. I also, after my races, I'll do cool down miles. And I used to make fun of the people that were running after the race. I was like, you don't get extra credit points. But yeah,
I remember thinking, if you had all this energy, why didn't you just run a little bit faster? You know, that was always my thought about the cool down.
Yeah, I definitely don't I don't do extra miles after the marathon or an ultra, but after a half, a 25K or below, I do cool down miles.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's one of those things. I maybe that's something that just comes with experience and knowing your body a little bit more. But you know, I think that probably a lot of new-ish runners probably have some of those same thoughts that we just had about why you just ran the race, you pushed yourself, whatever, yada yada yada. You don't need to run anymore. But you know, again, you learn with experience that this actually is going to make tomorrow a whole lot better. So you know, get a couple extra miles in, or walk a little bit more, or whatever you need to do. Figure it out for yourself, but figure it out and keep taking care of your body.
Yeah, I think too, I forgot to mention this, but going back to how I gratefully have been able to stay injury free, in that I feel like our mind is our best friend and our worst enemy, right? Because when you're in a race or you're trying to get through a tough workout, we got to change the station in our head, right, to fight through. But sometimes we can have that station telling us to fight when we actually should have stopped.
Right.
Oh, that's... So it's like finding the balance between, am I pushing myself without causing damage, or am I going to push myself? And even in a race, like there's always another race. I have a spreadsheet. I can help you find the next
Right. Yeah. And with the internet these days, like there's no limit to the number of races. Yeah. Even if you're not able to travel all over the place, like every area has plenty of options within a short drive, for sure.
Yeah, and there's only one you.
Right. Yeah, that's an easy thing to say sometimes, a hard thing to embrace. But I think once you do embrace that, it really does make a difference, because like you said, you start to recognize that, hey, maybe I shouldn't push myself today, sacrifice tomorrow for today. And you know, I would say as a coach, and I would assume that you would say this as well, that you know, the best way to improve is to consistently train and get incrementally better day after day after day. And if you start to sacrifice too many tomorrows for today, that interrupts that continuation and that steady growth towards your goals.
Yep.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad we're on the same page there. I think that's one of those things that's not too controversial, but it's just easy to be short-sighted sometimes, especially when you're the one in the moment. So trying to again, kind of hammer that point home, that listen to your body, pay attention to what you're doing, take care of yourself. And that's probably the best route to getting towards your goals. So shifting gears, maybe one last time before we wrap things up today, Denise, I can't avoid the topic of writing a book. Congratulations on that. That's a big thing. As I experienced, at least, that maybe I'm the exception to the rule, that maybe it's not as hard as it was for me, but getting that book out for me was quite the labor of love, maybe, but it was definitely a process. What was the impetus for you for the book? Again, titled book, Me, You, and 26.2. Why did you get started with it, and how did the process go for you?
Yeah, so it first started, it was shortly after, again, that first marathon. I would meet people, they're like, oh my God, you did a marathon. I'm like, you can do it too. So I always was like indirectly inspiring and coaching people. And then, you know, once I started coaching, I'm surrounded by beginners. I'm surrounded by people that, you know, chase PRs. And what happened, and so many times I would, the universe would bring me someone who just signed up and they were freaking out, or someone who said the word marathon, it's on their bucket list and they didn't think they could do it. And then I would have like 2 or 3 minutes to do my little Deniseisms. And then, you know, I calm their nerves, get them excited, and then I'd have to go. And And they would say, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I said, someday, someday. And so what happened was I was on the bus ride heading to Hopkinton. And I met this gentleman named Joel, and he was doing his first Boston. He'd only been running 5 years, and he was 65, and he was freaking out, as I did at my first Boston, because, again, it's the Boston. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm from Chicago. There are no hills. So it's overwhelming because it's hills, and there's Heartbreak Hill, when actually the whole thing is hills.
Right.
So he was freaking out, and I just did my normal Deniseisms. And he's from a suburb of Chicago. So it turned out I ended up coaching him for that year, Chicago. And so a month later after Boston, I met him for breakfast. And during the breakfast, he would, you know, ask questions, and I would do my normal Deniseisms. And he said, you should write a book. And I said, you're not the first person to tell me that. And he said, you know what? I'm going to listen to you and do your homework. And I'm going to give you homework. The next time I see you, I want you to write three things you'd write in your book. And so that's how it started. And I think it was the end of August. I my water broke. I sent the manuscript to the publisher because a lot of people say writing a book is like having a baby. I've never had a baby, but it was very painful. But I was proud of every mile. And so what happened was I sent the manuscript off to, fast forward, I listened to Joel, I went for a run. And what happened after I hit submit is I had this whole stack of like brain dumps. Don't forget to put this in the book. And it was probably like, I don't know, like 16 inches high of stuff. And when I hit submit, I'm like, finally, I can get rid of that. Because it's, you know, I'm sure it was like apes on your back, not eight on your back. And so when I went through it all, I found the original manuscript from like June 23rd, 2015. And it was about 15 sheets of notebook paper. And it said June 23rd, 2015 on the top. And then me, you, and 262. So that's where it came from. And I'm really proud of it. It was, you know, I hit submit. And I was walking around in a state of self-awe, and I just came up with that word. Mm. But that's how it is when you do anything the first time that is you didn't think you could do. But I'm really proud of it because I made it 26 chapters and 4 aid stations. Mm. I mean, 26 miles and 4 aid stations. And the cover is the collage of 26 first-timers that I've coached. So then each mile kicks off with one of their stories, like what made them sign up, what's one word to describe their first marathon. And then it goes into my tips, tricks, and Deniseisms. But it starts with a spectator sign that ties to what the mile is about. So like the chapter that's all about why recovery is important, different types of recovery methods. It's called My Legs Are Hungover. Mm. And then there's a spectator sign that says, I thought you said rum. So it has like human inspiration. It has human interest stories. It has my hope. I have some of my friends have read it and gratefully, and they said it's just I was afraid my energy wouldn't come out in the words, but I want to share what was given to me. And then again, I feel like someone reading this will relate to one of my runners. Of course, it has a training plan. It has a couple beginner training plans in there too. But I'm really proud of it. And you know, I did my first marathon, and I've obviously done more. I did an Ironman, and I did more. I finished 100, and I'm doing I am not going to write another book unless I get a ghostwriter.
Oh, I was going to ask if there's another one, but also, you know, that never say never. Has come back to bite me on more than a few occasions. So yeah. Who knows?
At first, I said never again, but then I caveat. I'm like, if I can get a ghostwriter,
Oh yeah, yeah. That always that makes it makes it quite a bit. I don't want to say easier, but it makes the process maybe a little bit more, yeah, more smooth. But congratulations, you know what you
want,
for that.
Yeah, you know what you want to say, but it's like finding the right words, not repeating yourself, and yeah. And I'm like, my career was accounting, so I'm a numbers person. So the fact I produce 48,000 words, I'm just yeah.
Well, that's a job very well done, and I'm assuming it's on the Amazons and those types of places. Is it,
yeah,
is it for people that want to look for it?
Yeah, and I'll also be at the Chicago Marathon Expo. I'll have my book there at the Girls on the Run booth. I was actually one of the founders of the Chicago chapter, so I'm excited. I don't know if you're like me, but I get so high around races, I'm on the other runner's high. Because again, it's everybody like just saying no to their own status quo. It's like an energy you want to bottle up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing like being around a race environment and sucking in all of that collective energy and atmosphere and electricity. It's something, again, you know, that it's hard to maybe put into words, especially to non-runners, but boy, if you've been there, you feel it and you know it for sure.
Yeah.
So, Denise, as we're getting to that point of wrapping up, the way I like to end the chats is with something I call a philosophical question, which can sometimes sound a little scary. I don't mean it to do that, but it's really just kind of similar to the introductory question, something that's very open-ended. You can take it and run with it. Pun mostly intended. You can take it and make it something real short and sweet, or obviously a lot of folks end up somewhere in the middle. But one thing that I always like to do with when I'm talking to fellow coaches is to get a some type of coaching tip. And we kind of got into it a little bit with some of the tips for staying healthy. But we'd love to kind of maybe go back to that line of thought and ask that as a philosophical question today. If you could impart, you know, from your experience as a runner, your experience as a coach, lessons that you've learned from your coaches along the way, what would be one kind of takeaway coaching tip that you could leave with folks, that would just be, you know, this is kind of that one thing that either a lot of folks overlook, a lot of people tend to miss or get wrong, or it's just something that maybe you've learned the hard way that, like, boy, once I've done this and then incorporate it with the athletes I work with, it really makes a difference. What is one good lasting coaching bit of advice that you can share before we wrap things up for today?
Yeah, it actually tied, but I guess I'll go with this one. I feel like a lot of my runners and Denise 1.0, you know, we'll do a workout or a race and we don't get the time we wanted and the time we work so hard to get. And I think, or we don't win our eight, whatever. I think we also need to take into consideration that it takes a lot of self-drive and commitment to even get out the door. And when you look at a marathon, 1% of the population does it. And so why don't you think about those 99% of the people that aren't even trying? And you're out there pushing yourself. And I think I was saying my new litmus test is, I don't think I told you this yet, but my new litmus test for when I race a race and not run a race is, if I push past the point where if I keep going when I want to quit and I have a really bad station going on in my head, if I push past that, what else can I ask of myself? And I feel like we're comparing ourselves. We, of course, always want to get better, but whether we hit our time or we miss it, you're still making an impact on people in your life. Mm-hmm. You're still loved. You're still a good worker. It's only an extension of ourselves. So as best you can, be a little kinder to yourself.
Mm. That is beautiful, and I am not going to step all over that. So I'm just going to let that set with folks. Be kind to yourself, y'all. Great advice from Coach Denise. So once again, guys, if you want to check out more about what Denise has got going on, run-4-change.com is the website. And on the socials, Me, You, and 262. And once again, the book title, it's the same as the book title, Me, You, and 26.2. You can find that on the Amazons and in the show notes, disruns.com/632. We'll have it all linked up. You can go ahead and one-click it, and get yourself a copy and give it a read and let us both know. I would love to know what you think, but certainly as an author, it's always fun to hear what people think of your book. So let Denise know what you think of her book when you have a chance to read it. Denise, thank you for taking the time today. Hope that certainly wish you nothing but continued success with the book, with the running, with the coaching, with the next 100 marathons or whatever the future has in store for you. Certainly, cheering for you, looking forward to staying in touch, following along. And like I said at the beginning, maybe doing this again at some point, because there are a lot of things that we didn't even scratch the surface on today that we could have
gone
deep on. So thank you for the time and all the best going forward.
Thanks so much for having me, and look forward to meeting you someday soon.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Denise and myself. And as always, be curious to know what stood out to you from our chat today. What was something that we talked about that would be your takeaway from today? For me, there were a bunch of things today that really stood out. But I think my biggest one was the idea that Denise put forth about kind of having a Denise Runner 1.0 and Denise Runner 2.0, before the accident and after she got hit by the car in New York City, and just how her perspective changed and how she went from being somebody that, obviously enjoyed running. Obviously it was something that, she was into, passionate about, but it was all about the time. It was all about getting faster. It was all about the PR. And, unfortunately, it took getting hit by a car to make her rethink things a little bit and come at it with a new perspective. But all of a sudden, Denise 2.0, it wasn't as much about the PR. Now, that doesn't mean, she can't still push herself once in a while and doesn't still run a race hard and try to PR on occasion. But no longer is that almost what defines her. She's more than just her PR now. And I think that especially for those of us that maybe were competitive in other sports earlier and we come to running it as adults, it really can start out, at least for me, it did start out as being all about the time, all about getting faster, all about the PR, all about that scratching that competitive itch that I haven't been able to scratch since, high school hockey back in the day. And, I don't think that it took me to have some time. I haven't been hit by a car, thankfully. I don't think there was some big moment like that when the switch flipped. But in the past couple of years, it's been a lot less for me about the time, about the PRs. Times are still important to me. I still have PR goals. You all know that. I have Boston goals. You know that as well. But it's no longer only about times for me. It's about the passion for the sport, the chance to be out and push myself and feel better, feel stronger, clear my mind, interact with you guys, see you all at races, whatever it might be. Running is about much more to me now than it is about the times, which wasn't the case 4 or 5 years ago. And when Denise was sharing that story and mentioned that even Usain Bolt can't PR all the time, it was just that reminder that, yeah, I've been there, and maybe some of you all are as well. And if you are, that's great. Push yourself, aim for those faster times, but maybe, just maybe, think about maybe some other reasons, some other benefits, some other ways that running enhances your life beyond just scratching that competitive itch to run faster. So anyway, that was my takeaway. The whole idea of a 1.0 and a 2.0 and broadening your goals and ambitions beyond just the time and making sure that it's fun. That was the other big thing from right there when Denise was talking, that she wasn't really having fun until she didn't make it as much about herself and as much about her times. And then it became even more of a thing that she loved and was passionate about. So that's my takeaway. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. Don't be afraid to change your focus. Don't be afraid to run for more than just the PRs. Even if you're competitive about it, even if that's one of the things that you enjoy the most, you can still enjoy it, but also have some other goals and ambitions as well. That was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an Instagram message at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, thisruns@gmail.com. And of course, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave your thoughts and feedbacks and takeaways there as well. Thisruns.com/633 is the link to take you back to the show notes, where there'll also be links to Denise's book, photos, the whole nine yards, all there as well. Once again, thanks to DKMS for supporting the show today. Appreciate their continued support and really appreciate your continued support of DKMS. If you haven't signed up to be part of the donor registry yet, make it happen. DKMS.org is the website. You can also text the word amazing. That's AMAZING to 50555 for more information and to become part of the team that may potentially save a life at some point. You may be able to potentially save a life if you get yourself in that donor pool at DKMS.org. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing for today. Thank you guys for listening. As always, hope you enjoyed this one. If you did, go ahead and press that share button and post it on social media. Send it to an email. Send a text to your friend with the link, and let them check out the show as well. The show continues to grow because you continue to do those types of things. So thank you for all of the support. Really appreciate it. And until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.